My next guest is Joseph Vail, a senior representative for the Northwest Program of Defenders of Wildlife. The organization believes our society is in a biodiversity crisis, and the planet is losing plant and animal species at an alarming rate. The work being done to protect endangered species is now facing a new threat, though. That's the federal government. You can add your thoughts via email at jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me on the exchange to help us learn more is Joseph Vail. Welcome.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Joseph, let's start with some background on your organization and the work that you do there.
Oh, great. Yeah, love to. So Defenders of Wildlife is a national conservation organization that's dedicated to protecting and restoring imperiled species and their habitats. So we work throughout North America. We work a policy and we work to promote innovative solutions too. So I work in the Northwest field office, but we have field offices in several regions. We have field offices in Alaska, in the Southwest, also the Rockies and Plains, the Southeast. But we also have a presence in Washington, D.C., where we focus a lot on policy. And Defenders is unique, I think, in a lot of ways, compared to some other conservation organizations, because we also work quite a bit on wildlife conflict prevention. So, for example, I just got back from working on building electric fences in Montana to help reduce conflicts with bears there. But we've supported quite a bit of wildlife conflict prevention projects over the years and have even helped innovate some tools that work on conflict prevention. So we kind of marry the advocacy with the sort of practical solutions for on-the-ground wildlife.
What do you mean by conflict? What do you mean by conflict solution?
So that would be like, for example, the electric fence I was building was just around someone's chicken coop and garden, you know, to prevent bears from getting into the, and they also had bees. So bears like to go in, you know, if you're a beekeeper, bears might like to go in and get that honey instead of you. So, and so that would just be, you know, using different tools to just protect those bees and also protect the bears. Cause sometimes when bears get in and they become food conditioned, you know, and then they can kind of come back and back and get in more and more trouble going around human communities instead of, you know, doing what bears should be doing, living their best life, you know, out in the backcountry.
So where are you located?
I'm actually located in Ashland. So I'm here in the state of Jefferson. So I work in the Northwest Field Office, but I work in Oregon and Washington. So in the northeast corner of Washington, there are some grizzly bears. So our program does work on bears all the way up there, but all the way down here to southern Oregon, too. So we work on everything in that two-state area.
And so what endangered species in Oregon are you most concerned with?
Well, there are several. In Oregon, there are well over 50 wildlife species that are listed as threatened or endangered, and in California, it's well over 100. But some of the ones that I'm particularly interested in, so just a little bit about my background. I worked in wildlife and habitat conservation for a couple of decades, all in this region. So I used to do wildlife survey work as a technician for the Bureau of Land Management out of the Medford office. And we would look for a lot of species that weren't officially listed as threatened or endangered, but did have conservation concerns about them. The idea was to monitor those populations and make sure they didn't reach a crisis point. But some of the threatened and endangered species in this region are like the coastal marten. So there's a marten species that's pretty fascinating that lives only in southern Oregon and northern California. So it's about the size of a small cat, but it's a weasel-like animal. And it has this beautiful golden chest patch. And it lives in these thick coastal forests, but there's just only a few hundred of them left. So it can often be found in like dense underbrush with big down logs, but their numbers have dropped sharply, probably because of trapping and habitat loss. And so recently some of the populations were listed as threatened to help protect the habitats that they have left and give them a chance to recover. Probably the most notable species that people know about in our region are the salmon. So there's several runs of salmon that are listed, and, you know, those are species that are vital for ecosystems, but also it's really woven into the culture of of our region, the economy, you know, the history, especially for tribal communities. So dams and water diversions and things like that have really hammered their population. So there are several runs like the Northern and Northern California and Southern Oregon coho salmon that are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. So those are a few of them. The one I really, really like is the marble murrelet. And this is kind of a small, you know, kind of chunky seabird that spends most of its life out in the ocean, but it comes in to nest inland in old growth forests that sort of hug the coast. So it really needs really large old growth trees to put its nest in, adjacent to the Pacific Ocean where it lives. So it's they'll fly in some miles, sometimes up to 50 miles, but usually they're a lot closer to the coast, and they'll just lay a single egg in a big mossy tree limb. And with so much of the oldest forest logged, along the coast, they've really declined. So there are some spots where they're still nesting, mostly on federal and state forest lands. And, you know, that's a species that's at risk and, you know, something that the Endangered Species Act is working to bring back.
My guest is Joseph Vail, a senior representative for the Northwest Program of Defenders of Wildlife. Now, you've mentioned the Endangered Species Act a couple of times, Joseph. What is it?
Yeah, well, the Endangered Species Act, sometimes people call it the ESA. It's been around for 50 years, and it's one of the strongest environmental laws in the world. It's got an amazing success rate. Over 99% of the species that have been listed on the Endangered Species Act have been prevented from going extinct, and they're on the road to recovery right now. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I can hardly say, you know, 99% is an amazing track record for anything. So, you know, what's interesting about it too is it was passed in 1973 with overwhelming bipartisan support, which is also unheard of today, probably. You can imagine, that it was signed by President Nixon. And so, you know, it's been around for over 50 years. And so really what it does is wildlife is typically managed by states. And so what the Endangered Species Act does, though, is that when species are in serious risk of extinction, the ESA provides this federal backstop. So it says, okay, well, if species gets to the brink of extinction, we're going to have a backstop and make sure that these species don't totally blink out.
What do you mean by that, a backstop? Is that funding?
Yeah. So there's a program. And so how it works is species are listed. So there's a list of species that are put on the list that are either endangered or threatened. And that's important because endangered means a species is at the brink of extinction. But it also has this precautionary approach where you can also list species as threatened. So they are species that might become endangered. And so to sort of prevent the species from becoming endangered, there's that threatened approach. And so essentially you cannot harm, kill, or destroy the habitat of species on the list in ways that impairs their essential life functions. Those are things like breeding, feeding, sheltering, the things that, you know, allow species to persist into the future.
So these are policy prohibitions.
Yeah. So what it does is it has this list, and then, you know, the agencies that are charged with implementing the Endangered Species Act, which is kind of interesting because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is the one that's in charge for species that are on land, and then in the ocean, the National Marine Fisheries Service is in charge of the species, that marine species. But it has those agencies, try to prevent the harm of threatened or endangered species, and work on recovering them. And so there's a recovery plan that is developed that says, here's the actions that we can take to try to prevent the extinction of these species. I like to think of the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, as like an emergency room. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do in conservation that might be thought of more as your preventative care, or, you know, you're going to the hospital. But the ESA really only comes into effect when species are at that point of needing like emergency care. And so it took a long time for a lot of these species to get to this point, you know, and it's once they're on the list, you know, we have to do everything that we can to sort of keep them alive.
Right, in keeping with your metaphor, so the vital signs are near death, and there's extra attention being paid to this.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can do to get ahead of that and to prevent species from getting on the list. And, you know, I think it's also important to point out, you know, a lot of species leave the emergency room. The bald eagle is a great example, right? You know, it was down to just, you know, a few hundred breeding pairs, and it was threatened by some chemicals we were using at the time, DDT, and it was really interfering with its reproduction. And the bald eagle, you know, now has fully recovered. It's been delisted. It's left the emergency room. And now we can see bald eagles on places like along the Rogue River. And, you know, their numbers are in the hundreds of thousands. So it's just kind of amazing that, you know, this is an act that really works. And, you know, we do see species that are recovered.
So to your point, this act does work. It has an amazing track record, and it's saving the lives of species. But there's a proposed amendment now by this administration to the Endangered Species Act. What is that proposed amendment?
That's right. Well, there's several things going on. And in Congress, there is actually something called the ESA Amendments Act of 2025. And that's that was proposed by Representative Bruce Westerman, who's the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. You know, it's framed as sort of modernizing the ESA, but in fact, I mean, this is a complete rewrite of the bill. In fact, the amendments are longer than the original bill, if that tells you that it's completely undoing the Endangered Species Act. We like to call it the Extinction Act, because it really weakens the ESA core protections and prioritizes industrial development over species recovery. So just some of the concerns with the bill are that it really undermines the science. So science is really important in the ESA. It requires impartial peer-reviewed science to really know what's going on with these species. But this bill would allow state or just other local interests to submit science regardless of the quality. And then that would just magically become the best available science. And that really politicizes, you know, the approach, the unbiased approach that the Endangered Species Act has used up to this date that really underpins the protections for species. So that's a big issue. Just a few others are, it really makes it hard to list new species. So, you know, it would be difficult to actually get species on the list, and it would take so long. The concerns are that some of these species, you know, that might be threatened, you know, by the time they actually get on the list, they might become endangered, or, you know, worst case scenario, you know, the vital signs are really bad for those species. So the time it would take, and it also really reduces the Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service authority to protect species, and it would just essentially favor any sort of industrial activity over the protections of species. I like to think of it like it makes it harder to list species, it makes it harder to protect them when they're listed, and then it would also kick them off the list as quick as they could. So it really makes species protection harder along the entire path of recovery.
I only have a minute left, but I want to ask you this. A group of Democratic senators wrote a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, who testified before Congress yesterday, to express their concerns over these changes that they believe would loosen the federal protections for endangered species, as you just said. Interior Secretary Burgum doesn't seem to care. In fact, he testified yesterday, and I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's good to hear that they did that, and I think that probably tells you exactly what listeners can do. I mean, really speaking up to your elected representatives right now is critically important. So our delegation here in Oregon and in California are going to be critical to maintaining the protections for endangered species, so they can step up. Exactly what they did is what we need a lot more of. We need people using their voice. Also, if people want to stay informed, they can go to our website at defenders.org and we have action alerts, and we're going to be fighting these changes to the Endangered Species Act. Okay. So please tune in.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Joseph.
All right. Thank you. Take care, Mike.